There are many legitimate things, but are they consuming me? Have they taken first place? Have we reversed Matthew 6:33 to seek first the things of time and sense, and then hope that the blessings, the divine blessings, will be added after? Well, that's the reverse. The challenge has been to seek first the kingdom of God, the rights of Christ, exalting Him in my life personally and predominantly, and then subsequently will the things be added. What are your bales? It's a real exercise of heart. But what are we to do with them? Set them aside? Put them packaged in a little corner? And leave them there to further tempt me? Cover them over with the sheet so that they're out of sight to everyone else, but I know that they're still there. And yet the eyes of God are wide open to them and know that they're still there. Is that what we are called to do? No, we are called to throw them down. That is, we are called to dethrone them. We are called to break them down, to destroy them, to remove them completely and absolutely. Am I prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do that? Gideon was. He was a man of God who, in the midst of abnormal conditions, we said, Gideon was a seeker of God. He was threshing wheat. Am I a seeker of God? Am I a seeker of God's rights, of His interest, of the things that would glorify Him? Is that what I am? If that's what I am, I'll be prepared to dismantle the altar, to crush it, to destroy it, to remove it completely, a radical surgical procedure to remove it from me, so that there is no more evidence in my life of that altar. Am I prepared to do that? We go to Genesis 35 and we have another similar incident there. You'd remember Jacob has now left Padan Aram. He's returning home, his entire crew with him, on the way back. And Jacob is a man who is in fear and trepidation because he's going to have to encounter Esau, from whom he stole the birthright. And Jacob, to some degree, has not yet learned his lessons quite, because he's still conniving. He's still, as it were, working schemes up as to how he's going to meet Esau. But in chapter 32, what happens is, there wrestles a man with Jacob. And it was on that occasion that Jacob began to change, because the ultimate result of the wrestling on that night was a changed name. He was no longer Jacob, the conniver, but he was now Israel, a prince with God. But I think what is so challenging about that incident is this. Jacob was a man who was prepared to beg God for a blessing. He was saying, basically, I ain't going to let you go till you bless me. I've wrestled with you. I am not going to let you go, because if I let you go, I'm going to be the loser. I want a blessing. Is that what we want from having been together these few days? That God will bless me as a result of wrestling with me over some particular issue that's in my life that needs to be wrestled with. And that God will liberate me from that. It says, as Jacob wrestled and resisted, it says, the angel touched the hollow of his thigh. When we are unwilling to surrender, we get the hollow of the thigh touched. And it changes us. because Jacob began to walk with a limp. And every time I think of this incident, I think of how challenging it is. Because for the balance of Jacob's life, every time Jacob moved his leg, he was reminded of that encounter he had with God. He never limped once without thinking for a moment that this is the result of my stubborn, irresistant disposition, that God had to interpose himself and touch me. And it has left me with the scar. Beloved, there are lots of scars that we carry. We started out this conference with the government of God. That was the government of God. And the government of God leaves scars upon us, so that we might be reminded of his hand of mercy upon us. May God help us to truly throw down those bales. And do them quickly, so that we don't necessarily have to have the intervention of God. And yet, the blessedness of the intervention of God is that the mark is there that will, as it were, set a pace in my life from here on in. What does Jacob do at that occasion in 35? He says to his entire family now, I've just gotten word from God. I am to move up to Bethel. I am to return to that spot where I once met God face to face. And God wants to bring me back into the line of assembly character. He wants to bring me to Bethel. He wants to bring me to the place where he dwells. He wants to bring me to his house. He wants to have me in link with him. He wants to have us dearly beloved young people where he is. He wants to have us there. And he's going to go all out to do so. He says, get up to Bethel. But here is a man who now has a sense of what it means to clear issues up before I could get to Bethel. He has the sense that in order to get to Bethel, I've got to put away everything that's contrary to Bethel. If I want to experience true Christianity and the power of Christ in me in its effective way, it isn't going to happen simply by wishful thinking. I cannot wish myself into good Christianity. It's not wishful thinking. It's an act, a decisive act, to be extricated from everything that holds me down and back. So Jacob goes to the family. He says, we're going up to Bethel. God is not going to accept us in Bethel with all this luggage. It has to go. Give me the idols. They must go. We've got to get rid of them. Now, what does Jacob do? All right, you go ahead and get rid of the idols. Hopefully you get rid of them, everything will be okay. Jacob takes the initiative to make sure that every idol is deposited in his hand. Dearly beloved, it's a matter again that I and you have to make sure that every idol is completely, absolutely set aside. There must be an action on our part. That's what Jacob does. Where does he take it? At the same terebinth, that oak tree in Shechem. Shechem sets before us the cross of Christ. If there is going to be any liberation for us, it's not only liberation for the sinner at the cross of Christ, you know. It is the same place where you and I are going to experience spiritual energy and power to be at liberty for God. It's by going back to Shechem, the cross of Christ, where he buries the idols under the oak tree there. Calvary is what must liberate us and set us free for God if we're going to be energetic and full of power for him.